You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
On the day the House Rules Committee set guidelines for the impeachment debate, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer demanded Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell call witnesses. The question is, why should McConnell call witnesses?
I will ask during the impeachment proceeding for a vote on whether Mulvaney should testify and whether Bolton should testify and whether Casey should testify and whether Griffin should testify. And many of my Republican colleagues will be in a real dilemma because their constituents will want them to do that.
Might he be coordinating these questions with people outside the Senate? Chairman Adam Schiff and House Democrats actively decided not to go to court and pursue potentially useful witnesses because they didn't want to wait for due process. Indeed, they threatened to impeach the president if they had to go to court at all. That intentional political decision is the reason why the House is poised to send the Senate the thinnest, least thorough presidential impeachment in our nation's history.
Adding to the Democrats' fiction, Jamie Raskin, filling in for the suspiciously absent Jerry Nadler, offered this.
Mr. Chairman, we present you not just with high crimes and misdemeanors, but a constitutional crime in progress up to this very minute.
Why is abuse of power an impeachable offense?
Well, abuse of power is the essential impeachment offense. That's why it's in there. What it's about is elevating the personal interests and ambitions of the president above the common good, above the rule of law, and above the Constitution. And so the founders didn't want a president who was going to behave like a king. We'd seen enough of that. We wanted a president who was going to implement the laws, go out and, you know, implement the Affordable Care Act and implement the environmental laws. So that's your job. You know, that's what you're supposed to be doing.
How did the committee Democrats get those phone records?
I'm going to have to ask staff counsel to pass me a note on that. I will say,
but the staff counsel didn't answer that. Is that correct, Mr. Collins?
No, he wouldn't answer the question.
So telling us to go ask somebody who didn't answer the question.
The Democrats' main evidence of abuse of power is now revolving around President Trump's refusal to get roped into responding to their fraudulent subpoenas.
And I should also point out that President Trump was provided an opportunity to participate in the Judiciary Committee's review of the evidence presented against him, as President Clinton was during his impeachment inquiry. President Trump chose not to participate. President Trump, to date, has not provided any exculpatory evidence, but instead has blocked numerous witnesses from testifying about his actions.
No exculpatory evidence? This after the recent IG report revealed that the partisan-fueled Crossfire Hurricane investigation didn't offer any exculpatory evidence to fraudulently attain the first FISA warrant.
This entire process was tarnished further by the speed with which my Democratic colleagues on the Judiciary and Intelligence Committees have rushed to deliver their predetermined judgment. To impeach the president for something, anything, whether there are stones left unturned or whether there is any proof at all. There's no way this can or should be viewed as legitimate. Certainly not by Republicans whose minority rights have been trampled on every step on the way, and certainly not by the American people observing this disastrous political show scene by scene.
Ultimately, the Democrats, blinded by hubris and shallowness, engaging in a witch hunt that has burned out the country, are merely impeaching themselves.
To continue this line of thought after the president of the Ukraine has came out and denied it and denied it and denied it and denied it, you're either calling him a pathological liar, a world leader, or you're calling him, he was actually called in our committee last week, a battered wife.
He was actually called back.
John Bowne. You can find that full video at band.videoinfowars.com. This is the David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David on this historic day. Impeachment has passed. We will break it all down, bringing you videos from the Congress floor as well as a lot of other news from throughout the world. You are not going to want to miss it, folks. Stay tuned.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Oh, for a muse of fire that would ascend the brightest heavens of invention. Kingdom for a stage, princes to act, and monarchs to behold the swelling scene. Then should the warlike Harry, like himself, assume the port of Mars, and at his heel, Li Xin like hounds. Should fire, sword, and famine crouch for employment? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the David Knight Show. It's the 19th of December, 2019. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for David Knight, just begging heaven to send us that muse of fire, to give us the princes to act on this world stage. Instead, our stage is filled with clowns, and the only part of that prayer that has been fulfilled is you, the monarchs, to behold the swelling scene, and myself, Harry. With the hounds of hell at my side. I imagine if you are like me, you maybe woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. That is, you woke up with the full knowledge that the absolute corruption and degradation of our republic, the system in which we live, is nearly complete. The corruption is nearly complete in its totality. Absolutely capturing everything that we once held dear. And so, of course, I'll be talking about the impeachment vote today. In case you haven't heard, in case you're wondering what all the hubbub is about, lawmakers voted 230 to 197 to impeach President Donald Trump for abuse of power, and a similar vote for that second charge. Last night, along party lines, the only two, or I think there were maybe three Democrats that switched over, including Tulsi Gabbard voting present. So we're going to be talking about that in today's show. I will be taking calls and getting how you feel about it out there in America. And because I imagine you're feeling a little bit like I am. And that is like, it's like you're playing Monopoly. Imagine you're playing Monopoly. And every time you're playing with another person and they're the banker, and every time they need money, they just take it out of the bank. And they don't worry about buying houses. They just buy hotels and they give themselves a discount. And anytime they land on the chance card, they just flip through the deck until they find one they like and they pull that out. And they're just running roughshod over every rule that keeps the game of Monopoly worth playing. And they expect you to keep playing. They expect you to keep sticking to the rules. They punish you for every slight mistake you make that might bring you outside of the rules, while just completely ignoring them on their side. Are you going to keep playing that game, folks? Are you going to keep playing this Monopoly game, as rigged as it could possibly be? Are you going to keep playing? Is it worth it to keep playing? Is there any point in continuing to play a game this rigged? Oh, and here's the other thing. This game of Monopoly that you're playing, it's dictating the history of the world. It's deciding the path of humanity from here on out. That's the game of Monopoly. Those are the stakes at which we are currently playing. And the other side is absolutely ignoring any rule, any semblance of the rule of law that we once had. And that's what you start to realize when you start to pay attention to everything going on in the world today, is that there is no rule of law. Now, that's what America was founded on, was the rule of law over the rule of man, right? Laws over man, not man over laws. That has been the inversion that we've seen take place slowly but surely since the dawning of the American age, and especially for the last few decades. Now, part of this is explained by a very famous, important man named Yuri Bezmenov, and we'll be showing you his video later. Of course, he's the KGB defector who was describing how communism has infiltrated and started to corrupt the foundational pillars of America. That video interview, very popular, millions of views, removed by YouTube for hate speech. That video, that interview there has been removed by YouTube for hate speech. Of course, there are still other versions of it on YouTube, but the one that had millions of views, the one that was on top of Reddit, that one got taken down for hate speech. So we'll be showing you that video later, and he does go a little way into explaining how this has happened, but it's been a long time coming, and this is where we are now, that there are no laws. There are no laws, because if you choose when to enact laws, there are no laws. If people get to decide that if they like you, the law counts. If they don't, then the law doesn't count. There is no law. This is the rule of man rather than the rule of law. The ever-changing, ever-mercurial instances of mankind's decision one way or the other. It's just nonsense. So America was founded saying nobody is above the law, and that's the way that it should be. And that's been, ironically, the rallying call of the pro-impeachment camp since around December 2016, when they planned to impeach Donald Trump. And I've said this a couple times, but going over the last year, over 2019, day one, January 1st, they were talking about impeachment. All through January, all through February, all through March, there were impeachment rallies. Through everything, there have been impeachment rallies. They've been talking impeachment. Pelosi's been openly advocating impeachment for at least a year. And only in the last few months or so have they decided Ukraine was going to be their excuse to pass this impeachment. And then, of course, you have Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, but we're not even going to send it to the Senate because they won't get a fair trial there. So just the absurdity of the so-called trial in the Congress, where Democrats were just allowed to do whatever they want, change the rules however they want, rewrite them in whichever way is beneficial to them. That's the monopoly banker just stacking their own side without any compunction, without any hesitation whatsoever. Doing whatever they want, running roughshod over any semblance of control or rule of law or parliamentary procedure, anything like that. They don't let Republicans call witnesses. They don't let anything that is not beneficial to their side proceed throughout the entire congressional hearing over impeachment. Oh, but now they have the temerity, the tenacity, the chutzpah to say we're not going to let it go to the Senate unless it's a fair trial. And maybe this is one of those things that we could take a little bit of a lesson for the Democrats, because while they are just running roughshod over, again, any semblance of the rule of law, as, you know, Rashida Tlaib, who, you know, we're going to impeach that mother effer, and then is celebrating, walking down the hall saying, yeah, we're going to go impeach. Meanwhile, they're going, this is a very solemn occasion. The Democrats are very concerned about how she, don't you see her there if you're a TV viewer? Isn't she so concerned at the threat to democracy? She just loves this country so much. The Democrats, no Trump, no wall, no USA at all. Oh, but they're doing it all for the Constitution. You know, the one they want to destroy, the one that has the Second Amendment and the First Amendment, the one that I'm wearing here on my tie. Yes, that's the one that they're just so concerned at preserving. And they have to make sure that everything's done by the books, because they just love America so much. And then you just see their actions are completely at odds with that proclamation. Whereas, like, maybe, guys, in the Senate, McConnell, okay, Lindsey Graham, maybe you can just take a little bit of that, of a lesson from them. And, you know, I'm all for you just going, you know, we're going to rush it through the Senate. Like, it's not going to win, so let's just get it over with. Like, there's no point in really even having a trial because it's not going to succeed. Like, just don't say that. How about just don't say that openly? How about you just say, look, we're going to treat it very seriously. We're going to take it very, just take that little bookmark from the Democrats' playbook and say, yes, we're treating this very solemnly. We're going to give it a full viewing in the Senate. You know, we guarantee it'll be all, you know, everybody will have a chance to say their side. And then once it's in the Senate, once Pelosi passes it on to that higher house of the Congress, then you just go, all right, pass it through. Boop, done. We're out. We're done. But it's like they can't help it. It's like they can't help it. They just come out and they're just like, yeah, yeah, whatever. We're just going to not even do a trial. Giving Nancy Pelosi the excuse to say, well, I'm not going to pass it on then. I'm not going to pass it on until I can guarantee it's going to be fair. So just hand them everything, Republicans. Just hand it over. Just put your head in that vise and start tightening it for them. And then they can just take over and finish the job. Okay, then finish the job, then just kill America outright. All right, folks, I promise I won't stay on impeachment the entire show today. This is the David Knight Show. It's the 19th of December, 2019. And as of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time yesterday, the Congress has voted to impeach Donald Trump. CNN has to remind its audience he's still president. He is still president. Not everybody realizes that because they're dumb. But we're going to go to some videos here of some of the speeches that were made prior to the vote there. Doug Collins gave a great speech. Jim Jordan gave a pretty good speech, but sort of some of the same stuff that we've heard before. Louis Gohmert gave a good speech. And of course, we have a great list of all of the crimes Trump has committed recently. But, you know, and I don't even think I need to go over it. It's like, how many times do we have to explain the short-sightedness, the greedy, underhanded manner that the Democrats are behaving? Because, you know, I don't think anybody who listens to this show on a regular basis needs to be reminded. And I don't think anybody who doesn't believe it is going to be convinced. Because if you can't see it already, what am I going to say to you? What am I going to say that's going to convince you? It's just absurdity heaped upon absurdity. It's a absurdity layer cake that we're all just digging into. We're all just eating with reckless abandon. All right, I'm going to go to this clip here. This is Doug Collins, who's been a total champion throughout the impeachment proceedings, you know, doing as much as he can, which isn't much in the way that the Democrats absolutely skew and corrupt everything. All right, he hasn't been able to call witnesses or anything of the sort, but he's doing good. He's doing what he can. So here he is. This is Doug Collins giving a speech on the floor of the Congress yesterday against impeachment. Roll tape.
It is amazing to me what I just heard from the majority leader, that Mr. Schiff and Mr. Nadler presented a compelling case for impeachment. If this is a compelling case for impeachment, I'm not sure why we're here right now. It is not anywhere close to compelling. But you know what is interesting is what I have heard today. The majority leader just spoke and said that if the president was given every opportunity to come prove his innocence. I tell you what, Madam Speaker, let me have just a few minutes, stop the clock, and let me go around to the press corps and to everybody here, and I'm going to accuse you of something. You did it. You did it. You did it. You did it. Now prove it's wrong. You did it. Guess what? You don't want to, because deep down you know that that's turning the entire jurisprudence of this country upside down. You are guilty. You're not guilty until you're proven. You're innocent. And today from this floor, we have heard the majority leader say this president is guilty and not the other way around. He is innocent, and these come nowhere close to proving it. But what is left of this body? Let's have an honest conversation, Madam Speaker. What we have found over the past few weeks is it is okay for the majority to tear down a foreign leader because they can't make their case. They've called him a liar or weak or worse, or as it was called in the committee, even looked like a battered wife. It is below the dignity of this body and this majority to tear down a foreign leader because they can't make their case against this one. We have broken rules in this House, even to this moment. Chairman Schiff and the others have broken House Resolution 660 by not turning over the things that they should be turning over. I still have not got a transcript. We still don't know what we got. And the White House still has not got their stuff. I guess minority hearing rule days don't matter either. You see, there is a problem here because we're going to vote this tonight while breaking the rules. What a shameful incident.
They're breaking the rules. They're not just breaking the rules. You said they're tearing down the dignity of the House. They're ripping the pillars out that hold the roof up of the House. They are undermining the very concept of a bicameral legislature, of separation of power, of the sacred seriousness, the sobriety that should be maintained when debating this history-making decisions. These aren't just little political maneuvers that are going to decide a vote next week. This is history. Okay, I don't know if I can drive this home more enough. This is dictating the path of the Western world and America in particular for the next couple hundred years, if we make it that long. I don't even know if I want to make it that long. Oh, man. There's so much I would love to say. I'll think about it. I love this. This is from the Hill. Dressed in black to mark the somber occasion, Speaker Nancy Pelosi stands there just presiding over this very serious parliamentary proceeding. It's tragic, she says, that the president's reckless action made this impeachment necessary. It's tragic. She doesn't want to do this. And his actions made the impeachment necessary. They just want you to forget. Just totally ignore their rallies. Totally ignore their statements from a year ago talking about impeachment, desiring impeachment. When they couldn't make the case for impeachment, oh, it was about the 25th Amendment and his mental health. It was about everything they could throw at the wall to see what sticks. They expect us to forget that and act like something just popped up out of nowhere. And it was just so atrocious, so just obscene and abusive of his power that, oh, they don't want to, but they have no choice. These lying, sycophantic, I just, my God, he gave us no choice, she says. He gave us no choice. Dressed in black. I retweeted the video here when she announces that impeachment has passed. Oh, the Democrats start clapping. She can't have that. See, there she shuts them down. You stop clapping. You stop celebrating. We're pretending here. You got to keep up the lie, Democrats. You got to keep pretending that the American people are as dumb as you think they are. Don't clap. Don't celebrate. And of course, Rashida Tlaib celebrating. Let's go ahead and roll that video now. This is the very, very somber and serious Democrats against their own wishes having to impeach Donald Trump. Rashida Tlaib, everyone.
Hey, everyone. I am on my way to the United States House floor to impeach President Trump on behalf of my incredible district, 13 districts strong. Let's do
it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, yes. I'm going to impeach him. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. God damn. It's just like, can I try this? Just like, oh, my God, I'm in a terrible mood. This is awful. I'm very serious and somber right now, and, like, I don't want to be doing this. Okay, all right. All right, use your words, Harrison. We're going to go to some more clips on the other side, including Louis Gohmert, who, again, has been a total champion of liberty throughout this whole process. We'll be giving you the truth behind the lies. And again, we won't be sticking to impeachment because, as I was talking about, this whole idea of flagrantly ignoring laws that don't suit you and twisting existing laws to benefit you, it's not just in politics, it's not just impeachment, it's everywhere. So we're going to talk about everything. It's a fiat reality. Most listeners here know what fiat currency is. We live in a fiat reality. That's a reality by dictate. It's not what's real. It's not what's actually happening. It's what they tell you is happening. They get to decide what's real. They get to decide what reality is.
Using free speech to free minds. This is the David Knight Show.
Oh, Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight on this Thursday, December 19th, 2019. President Trump has been impeached in the House. Nancy Pelosi, in her, you know, ever vigilant desire to play by the rules and save this sacred republic, is refusing to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate till she can guarantee it'll get a fair trial. This is just one of the layers of nonsense that we are trying to delve through this morning. I'm going to go back to some videos here of the speeches that were made yesterday prior to the historic blunder that the Democrats have made. And, you know, some people are just sort of acting like this isn't that big of a deal because it's not going to go through. It's not going to actually happen. But make no mistake, this is a huge deal. This is the destruction of the democracy, right? And again, it's just like this is the fiat nonsense inversion of reality that we have to deal with. That as these people undermine every foundational pillar of our republic, they tear down any ability we have to elect our own representatives. They run roughshod over any restrictive laws that are there to prevent the exercise of abusive power by any member of the government. As they systematically destroy everything that makes the American system function, they have the tenacity to claim they're doing it to save democracy. As they wage this one-sided, incredibly unfair, rule-breaking case throughout the Congress to get this impeachment vote, they're just strictly on party lines, which is the thing Alexander Hamilton warned against. As they do this, they dare to say, oh, but the Senate has to treat us fairly. Oh, but the Senate has to do what we want them to do. We cannot stand for this, ladies and gentlemen. What is going to be the breaking point? Honestly, what is going to be the breaking point? I guess that's for you to decide. This is Louis Gohmert, clip 7, y'all. Hot and bothered on the floor of Congress yesterday, bringing some minute iota of sense to the vacuum, to the intellectual vacuum that we find on Capitol Hill. Here is Louis Gohmert.
One thing hasn't changed, and that is the intent to impeach this president. It's always been there. But let's be honest. The president turning his back on Ukraine, that happened in 2009. Because in 2008, Ukraine invaded Georgia. What happened? Bush put sanctions on Russia to teach them a lesson. What happened after that? Well, in March of 2009, Hillary Clinton was sent over to Russia with a reset button to say, Bush overreacted. We're okay that you invaded Georgia. It was a green light to Russia to invade Ukraine. And what do? Oh, yeah, you send blankets and MREs they can eat and be warm while the Russians are killing them. That is what the Obama administration did. This is a travesty. And we're in big trouble because Schumer was right. Now, it's lowered even farther, the bar. It will be used for political battles, and this country's end is now inside. I hope I don't live to see it. This is an outrage. I yield back.
Gentleman from New York.
Mr. Speaker, I am deeply concerned that any member of the House would spout Russian propaganda on the floor of the House.
Oh, my God.
And now yield 1 minute to
the gentleman
from New York.
I didn't even hear this part.
The gentleman from New York is recognized for... The House will come to order. The gentleman from New York is recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you.
The House will come to order. The House will come to order. The gentleman from New York is recognized.
You know, sometimes you wonder why God is so good to you, right? Sometimes you wonder, what have I done to deserve? Beautiful wife, I have a brand new nephew, I have this amazing job here when I'm talking to the American people. What have I done to deserve this? Maybe God knows that I need something to prevent me from going crazy and doing something that would destroy my life. Maybe I need all of these things around me to go, you know, I don't want to lose these things. So I'm not going to do what in my heart, oh my God, Jerry Nadler, to come out on the floor of the Congress and say that Louis Gohmert is spouting Russia propaganda. with a straight face and to do so knowing that there is no repercussion that he will be facing, I'm literally getting lightheaded. I did not know that that was part of that clip. I was not prepared for that. I had all other comments I wanted to make about what was being said. Oh my God. Ooh. All right. I need to open up the phone lines. I need to know if people in America are feeling what I'm feeling right now, or if I'm just ruining everyone's morning with how incredibly angry I am right now. I'm going to open up the phone lines. The number is 1-888-201-2244. 1-888-201-2244. Oh my God. I mean, that Louis Gohmert clip was great. It was great. It was a very poignant and well thought out statement. And then to have Jerry Nadler with a straight face in all sincerity and solemnity, the penguin that. Okay, guys, all right, we're going to go to this next clip now. Does Jerry Nadler make a comment at the end of this clip? I need to know. I don't think he does. But I need to be prepared for that level of insanity. I'm sorry, folks. I was not prepared for that. All right, this is Representative Russ Fulcher listing out in excruciating detail every crime Trump has ever committed.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In a day heavy in verbal debate, I choose to use my time to enumerate in detail every high crime and misdemeanor committed by the President of the United States. I will do so now.
His face. He's so serious.
Gentlemen's time's expired.
You're back.
Gentleman from California.
There they are. That's all of them. That's every crime Trump has ever committed. He was able to list them out in 30 seconds. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? Whew, man. You know, Louis Gohmert, before I got distracted by Jerry Nadler, that's what I was talking about before when Owen Schroyer stood up during the impeachment process and called out Jerry Nadler. I've been in these rooms sometimes, and one time I was there, and it was Jerry Nadler talking about big tech censorship, and he starts out just like he did there. I can't believe you would bring Russia propaganda into this house. Where's that punching? Don't we have a punching bag around here? Sorry. I've been in these rooms, and to hear sitting in the back and there 50 feet away from you is Jerry Nadler saying, it is a right-wing conspiracy. It is a complete falsehood that big tech is censoring anyone. It's a complete lie that they unfairly apply their terms of service. It's a right-wing smear and a crazy conspiracy theory. And to have to sit there and be quiet while that man says those types of things, keep your hands to yourself and not say anything, is excruciating. Can't do it. I can't do it. I'm never going to be a politician. Mark my words. Wow, folks. I'm literally lightheaded. I'm going to lay down for a minute, all right? You guys go to this quick commercial break. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Please. If I don't have this job, I'm going to do something extreme. Please keep me employed. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Show. Harrison Smith sitting in, raging. I don't know, maybe one of you can talk me down from the ledge. Maybe you'll just make me angrier. I don't know. I don't even know which way I want to go at this point. But Jesse in Arkansas has called in about impeachment. Jesse, what do you got for me? You're on the air.
Well, with Gohmert saying all these things, and then Nadler saying that, you know, it's Russian propaganda. It's just a complete inversion and projection of their own criminality onto the Republicans. That's all they have. At this point, it's we have to pin the tail on the Republicans because nothing else is going to work.
Oh, it's infuriating. I was so unprepared to hear Jerry Nadler say it, and yet they're brazen about it. I mean, they are so openly deceitful. I mean, what do we do here? Like, what do we do, Jesse? Help me.
All right. So there's something that's been brewing kind of in the back burner. Patrick Hawley from the Epoch Times. I know you guys have had him.
Oh, yeah. He's
before,
great.
But so Dan Bongino from Fox News, and he's a correspondent. You know, he's started his own Drudge Report competitor. Sorry. And now I guess he's alleged that Patrick Hawley is doing something wrong and trying to discredit him, and got him fired from the Epoch Times. And I just think it's kind of an odd predicament. So I don't know if you saw it, but he just launched a report where he found that Nancy Pelosi was renting out a building to a gentleman named Dr. Ayers, who was indicted and sent to prison for child experimentation, medical experimentation, all this kinds of stuff with kids from CPS. And then he committed suicide in prison in 2016.
Really? I have not heard any of this. Oh, we dropped you. All right, Jesse. Maybe that was a dropped phone line. If you want to call back, we'll get to the bottom of this. I have not looked into this yet, but maybe the crew can grab me that story of Patrick Hawley. I like Patrick Hawley. I didn't realize he'd gotten fired from the Epoch Times. He says it took half a dozen conservative influencers complaining to my paper like little schoolyard dorks to get me deplatformed. No great loss. Yeah, this infighting is so stupid on the Republican side. It's like there are just a few things. Like, we don't have to be the deceitful, devious liars that the Democrats are, right? Like, that's not what I'm advocating. But there are certain aspects of the Democratic Party that allow them to overcome so many of their shortcomings. One of them is they do not infight, largely. They just don't. They just don't. They just know how to support each other, even if their visions are a little bit different, even if they don't exactly quite have the same thing. They support each other when it comes down to it. Republicans, like, we just can't do it. We just can't acknowledge that there are maybe people on our side of the aisle that aren't 100% aligned with our ideology, and yet we support them and know that they're good for the cause and that we need a wide array of opinions on our side. It's like we know that kind of, but we just love infight. We just love picking at each other. We just love bringing each other down. And I don't get it. Like, that's one of those little plays from the Democrat playbook maybe we could benefit doing. Not just saying, hey, it doesn't matter, you can believe all this and still be a conservative. No. You have lines, but that's just one thing. The other thing is, you know, this idea of play the game a little bit. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, just act like you're going to give it a fair trial in the Senate so they push it to the Senate and then you can just do whatever you want. Don't just come out and be like, yeah, we're going to rig it, so just pass it on over. Like, these people, it's infuriating. But Patrick Hawley does still report at the National File, which is a fantastic publication, of course, headed by Tom Papert of InfoWars fame, amongst others, God Emperor Trump himself. But let's go back out to all right, Jesse's called back in. So, Jesse, explain a little bit more about what has happened with Patrick Hawley.
So, I guess Dan had alleged some predation.
Sorry, your connection is still not great. Maybe give a call back in a little bit once maybe you get to a different location. Sorry, I'm really having trouble hearing you there. But we'll look into it. And we'll get that story a little bit later. But if I got the gist of it, it's Nancy Pelosi corrupt. Nancy Pelosi corrupt, I think, is the simple way of explaining what we're seeing happening right now.
Supposedly, he's handed off a report to even Rand Paul in Kentucky, and Rand isn't taking any action on it. So this is really? This is a bipartisan cover up almost of what's going on with CPS. There was also Linda Collins Smith from Arkansas. She was murdered this year, and they charged her lifelong best friend with the murder, and then the judge dropped the charges. Nothing's ever happened. And she was supposedly investigating CPS embezzling money to the Clinton Foundation.
Very interesting. Well, hey, maybe if Patrick Cowley's up this early, he can just come on the show and explain what happened. Y'all mind reaching out to him? We'll try to get the story, and we'll try to get him on if possible. And we only have about two more hours, but if he's down for a last minute interview, I'd love to hear about what's going on, about the drama being caused. You know, I don't like seeing the infighting, but we got corruption on all sides. Nancy Pelosi is just the queen of this insanity. All right, thanks so much for the call, Jesse.
Thanks no problem, Harrison.
For the information there. Folks, I cannot say what I say on this program anywhere else in the world. I mean, not only are there not television programs that say the things that we say here on InfoWars, they're kicked off YouTube, they're kicked off Twitter, Facebook. You know this already, but if you really think about it, this is so important, what is happening right now. And again, this is history in the making. These are the day. This is the crucible that decides the fate of the Western world. Whether we allow the strictures of our government, if we allow the foundational pillars of our society to be undermined, and we sit there and watch it happen and don't do anything about it, we kind of deserve it. You just sit there and see this happen and go, that's too bad. Like, that's part of the problem. To stand there and do nothing, that's when evil wins. That's the only thing evil requires, is for good men to do nothing. And that's an idiomatic saying for a reason. There's another saying that has been coming to my mind recently, and that's the quote from Alex Jones being on the Joe Rogan program. He talks about how evil is always conspiring and conniving and lusting after power, and that good men and women don't do that. We don't gather up. We don't coalesce into powerful groups because we don't want to dominate. We just want to be left alone. We just want to be free to pursue our own lives and our own interests and live our own happiness. But something is happening in Virginia that is, as Alex Jones predicts or simply notices, through history. And that is that when evil really starts to take power, when evil really starts to grab hold, good men and women get together and we destroy evil outright. That's what's happening in Virginia right now. 90% of Virginia counties becoming gun sanctuaries. Virginia County passes resolution to support raising pro-gun militia. It's the only type of militia there is, as far as I'm concerned, but there you go. People starting to join militias, people starting to band together. Do you know how scared this is making the establishment? So, folks, if you want to do something to fight back, if you are sick of sitting there and watching this happen, watching Nancy Pelosi take the jackhammer to the foundation of our societal house that we all live in, you can do something very easy, very simple, very effective. You can go to InfoWarsStore.com. You can make a purchase. You can buy yourself a little Christmas present. You can buy yourself the supplements that you need to get your New Year's off right, to make it a focal point of your self-betterment in the year 2020. As you set your New Year's resolutions and you say, this year I'm going to be healthy. This year I'm going to be as fit as I can possibly be. This year, I'm going to stop drinking the energy drinks. This year, I'm going to stop, eating so much sugar. This year, I'm going to start working out. Well, start that routine with a supplement regimen. Start that routine by taking Turbo Force instead of energy drinks.
Broadcasting with the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Second hour begins, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be going to your calls very shortly. But first, I want to go to this video. This is Tucker Carlson last night breaking down the spending bill, the bipartisan $1.4 trillion spending bill that got slipped through the cracks while the rest of America had their eyes on impeachment. Here he is, Tucker Carlson, on the spending bill.
If you're a cynical person, you might suspect that all of this was designed from the beginning to distract you from what's actually going on. And what is actually going on? Well, a lot is going on around the world and in this country. For example, one among many. Before it leaves town for Christmas, the Congress will pass a 2,000-page spending bill that Dana just referred to. It amounts to about $1.4 trillion. What's in that bill? Wouldn't you like to know? You were too busy watching impeachment to find out. But we took a little time and checked. Here's a selection. For example, thousands of Liberians from Liberia living in this country will get a special pathway to citizenship. Why? How'd that happen? Don't ask. It was never debated. You had no idea it was even happening. This is your country. You didn't know. And of course, that was the point. Or how about the war in Afghanistan? Going on now for 18 years. Just a few weeks ago, the Washington Post released a massive trove of documents. They revealed that our leaders have been systematically lying to us about how the war is failing and has been for more than a decade. That should have been the scandal of the year. Instead, those documents are forgotten almost immediately. Why? Thanks to impeachment. In fact, in this new spending bill, Congress just voted to keep the money flowing unimpeded to that failed war. $4 billion will go to the Afghan security forces. Really? It's like a joke. We know for dead certain that money will be wasted the second it gets there. The troops we hire will desert. Their weapons will wind up with the Taliban. If anything, the money that we send is more likely to be spent killing American forces than it is to be turning Afghanistan into Belgium or whatever the mission is. We have no idea. But we know it's not going to achieve that. But Congress is doing it anyway. Meanwhile, Congress is, in addition to all of that, still busily working to undermine your constitutional rights. The spending bill currently includes $25 million to spend on, quote, gun violence research. And don't lie to yourself. That's not social science. It's money that will go to ideologically motivated research with only one purpose, giving a pretext to bureaucrats to reduce your Second Amendment rights. Now, you think that might bother Democrats because, as you know, they spent all week extolling the Constitution, how much they care about it, how they're representing the framers. But, of course, they don't care about the Bill of Rights. If it's an obstacle to their power, they're against it. And that category includes both stubborn constitutional amendments like the First and Second and sitting presidents. Congressman Al Green, by the way, basically said so today ahead of Congress, just a few minutes ago, impeaching the president on both Articles 1 and 2. When Green called for the president's impeachment, he didn't mention high crimes and misdemeanors. No. He got right to the point. He accused the president of disagreeing with his views on immigration. Watch this.
In the name of democracy, on behalf of the republic, and for the sake of the many who are suffering, I will vote to impeach, and I encourage my colleagues to do so as well.
What does that have to do with Articles 1 and 2? What does that have to do with impeachment? If you're confused, you don't know how it works. So here's a primer. Here's all you need to know. When you oppose the Democratic Party's immigration plans, what you're really doing is challenging their plan to accumulate more political power. And that, in the end, is the only impeachable offense in Washington.
Ladies and gentlemen, they don't want your guns. They want you. The guns are in the way. They don't care about Donald Trump. They care about dominating you, and Donald Trump is stopping them from doing that. The impeachment facade, the charade is just that. Stories at Infowars.com. Bill gave another $500 million to Israel on top of the $38 billion our Congress is already scheduled to give them. Israel currently owns $46 billion in U.S. treasuries that they purchase with our money and lend back to us. Hooray.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight on this Thursday, December 19th. Going insane live on air here. Going super sane with the power of my fury at swamp rats like Jerry Nadler. We're going to go out to your calls about impeachment. I'm going to get off impeachment. Don't worry. I spent the whole first hour on impeachment. We're going to finish it up with it here and then move on to all of this other very important story, stories that I have, including, of course, what you just heard, the $1.4 trillion bipartisan screw job spending bill, amnesty for Liberians, $500 million for Israel's missile tech, $768 billion spending package, four times as much money. What is it? Not four. Ooh, that was it. What a terrible mistake. Three times as much money for the Afghanistan military as we're getting for our U.S. border wall. This is what our government values is Liberians, Afghanistans, and Israelis. Americans get nothing but the shaft. All right, let's go to Catherine in Colorado wants to talk about impeachment. Catherine, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hello, Harrison.
Hello. Yes, ma'am.
I have to tell you, first of all, that you are impeccable with your words. You don't waste any of them. I appreciate the way you present the news.
And thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yes, you must really work hard on picking the right words, you know, because you do well at it. And David Knight also, it is just his name, David, like the king, and he's a knight in shining armor.
It's emblematic, isn't it?
Yeah, and the word is so important, and this is, you know, how they distract you is with their words, you know, and their no-speak, whatever. And it, something came to me one day, I found it amusing. If you put N-I in Democrat, you get demonic rat. And if you think of N-I, it'd be like in, like I-N-I, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like in them, there's demonic rat in them. But what we need to do is realize that the word is God. That's what it says first of all in the Bible. The word is God. And so what comes out of our mouth becomes reality. And these people are really messing with the word big time. Jesus taught us to pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Nobody really concentrates on that, you know, that's like somebody's got to govern us. But when the Israelites went to the promised land, they were supposed to have no king. They were supposed to just be responsible for themselves. So people need to start realizing how important it is to use the proper words. And I hope this will help you with your anger today, because this is all just to show us that government is not going to do it. Right. Religion is not going to do it. We have to be responsible, and that's the only way God's kingdom's going to come. And yeah. There's only going to be a few of us, it says, that's going to find that road.
Yeah. You know, you made so many good points in that little segment right there. How does this, how do you tie this into impeachment right now? Well, you've already helped me calm down a little bit, but bring it home, Catherine.
It's something to distract you from God's kingdom. You've got to keep thinking about how God's kingdom's going to come, and it's not going to come through our government. That's Satan's government. It doesn't matter who's there. It's Satan's right. Government. Our government is within. And the guy from Alaska, I can't think of his name right now, but he talks about the consciousness, and it's going to come through the consciousness. Jesus yeah. comes to us through the consciousness. And so if we can just calm people down into realizing that we just got to pray for God's kingdom is going to come. The unveiling is here right now. We're in the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I always thought, I got to see Obama. Somebody wanted to go see him when he was first running for office. And I'm a libertarian. I've run for office three times. They never voted for me. You know, I never got there because I'm not mainstream. But anyway, When I heard him talking, I thought he was the Antichrist.
Right.
You know, and then we were in an abomination.
Right. The words say it all. Thank you so much, Catherine, Colorado.
Oh, hey, I was wondering, is there a way you can transfer me to the store so I can buy something? Because I have trouble trying to figure out how to order it.
Well, I think that might be a different number. The operator maybe can do that for you, or at least give you the number for that. Thank you so much for the call and your support. And, of course, you can go to InfoWarsStore.com to make purchases quite easily on InfoWarsStore.com. Just add it to the cart, check out. Make sure to tick that auto ship button to get the refill every month. And I believe the number is up there, too. You can give that a call. I don't want to give people the wrong number, so I'll get that in just a minute. Thank you so much for the call, Catherine. And there's something that it's Vox Day, and Owen Benjamin sort of popularized it, but it's such a good word, the wizardry, right? The wizardry that goes on, and the way that if they just say the right words and the right sentences, it's like they're casting a spell and changing reality. And even, you know, the way the FBI operates, and we saw it with the IG report, they can basically run roughshod over the laws. They can ignore any laws they want. They can circumvent any laws they desire. They just have to say the right words to do it, in the same way that if you're an illegal immigrant, you want to get into America, nobody's threatening you. You're not actually fleeing any oppression in your home country. But if you just say the right words, if you just claim amnesty in a certain way, if the lawyers can tell you the right words to say, like casting a magic spell, open sesame, suddenly you're allowed to come in. Suddenly you qualify for all these benefits and amnesty and protection and all these things because the words that you use, the wizardry, the trickery that they use. Do you see how I live what I preach, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not going to cause division in the right wing just because of a certain reason. But it's such a good point. Yeah, you brought up Nick Begich talking about the spirituality, the apocalypse. And, you know, they say you'll never know the time or the day. You can't predict the time or the day of the second coming of Jesus, that the apocalypse will come. And, you know, it's very tempting to believe that we live in the end of days. But that's a common belief. I mean, you can go back to the time that Jesus was walking on the earth. They thought it was the end of the days. That was 2,000 years ago, all the way up through, I mean, the crazy cults that broke out after the Protestant Revolution, where they thought it was the end of times, all the way up. It's increased rapidly through the 20th century and into the 21st, this idea that the apocalypse is imminent, that these are the end times, and they may very well be. But it's my belief, and I'm not basing this on any, official church teachings or anything, but, you know, God gave us free will. We determine when the apocalypse happens by our own behavior. If you sit back and allow it, well, here it comes. Here comes Satan coming down the pipe. You know, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. But then you also have to remember that the Byzantine Empire became Christian, longest lasting empire in the history of the world, because they won a battle under the sign of the Rokai, or under the sign of Jesus Christ, Logos, the word of God. He said, by this sign you shall conquer. So history has the precedent for not sitting back and just waiting for God to take care of things, but being an active part of God's will and helping to bring God's will to earth and achieve his righteousness. Not that he needs any help. we're not so conceited to think that God needs our help to get anything done. But we do have a responsibility to help as much as we can, whether he needs it or not. So, you know, we decide if America wants to lay down, if America says, you know what, it's the end times, it's the apocalypse, there's nothing we can do, and lays back, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we fight back, if we reinstate the Christian-based, God-fearing, freedom-loving, freedom-ensuring government and way of life that America was founded on and that made us thrive and brought us to the heights of power unparalleled in human history for all of time, maybe we can get back to that. Maybe we can bring back a little bit of God. Maybe we can waylay the apocalypse for just that little bit. Maybe the Satanists, the Luciferians, the power-loving monsters in Washington right now, maybe they can sit. Maybe we can give them a little bit more time to save their souls. What a beneficial thing. All right, we've got more callers that want to talk about impeachment as well as the militia, which is, to me, the key. The militia we don't talk about enough. And I say it every time. Militia just means every man or woman who is of fighting age in a society. I'm the militia. You are the militia. We are the militia. It simply means the armed populace. It's better than having a standing army. I know it's shocking. And you can't even write the word militia in private messages on Facebook or they'll delete it. Isn't that something interesting? So we'll get back to impeachment in just a little bit. But I want to move on to some other stories, some interesting stories. Jeffrey Epstein's first suicide attempt video has gone missing. Surveillance video of Jeffrey Epstein's suicide attempt in jail has mysteriously vanished. Oh, a mystery is afoot, prosecutors revealed Wednesday. Quote, I don't know the detail of how it was lost or destroyed or why it wasn't retained when it should have been, lawyer Bruce Barkett said in court. Oh, it's just, what a mystery. Ooh, who's to say? They say they simply can't find it. They just can't find it. It's gone, and they don't know why or where or how. Oh, darn. Oh, darn. If only there was some sort of system, you know, if only somebody had suggested that maybe this video be preserved. Of course, that's exactly what Tartaglione, that's Nick Tartaglione, or Tartaglione, who was the cellmate of Epstein. He was blamed on the attack. They said maybe he attacked him rather than Epstein trying to commit suicide when he was found with neck injuries 2 weeks before his successful, quote, suicide. So two weeks before that, he was found with neck injuries. And Nick Tartaglione, who was awaiting trial for four counts of murder, formally requested that the video be preserved 2 days after the suicide attempt as evidence, because he said, you know, I don't want to be falsely accused. I want you to preserve that footage. It's gone. Oh, it's gone. Oopsies. Oops. The footage is gone. The cameras were turned off. The jail logs were fudged. Nobody knows anything. Move along, citizen. Nothing you need to worry about here. And this is just yet another symptom of this playing Monopoly with the banker, right? Playing Monopoly with a cheater. It's just, the laws don't apply. The rules don't apply. Nothing is as it should be. Try telling the government, oh, I just lost all that tax money. I'm looking for it and I just can't find it. Will the government let you get away with anything that they get away with? It's like, if you ever want to know why I'm a libertarian, just look at how the government operates, and that if they need to get a penny from you, they will pull out all the stops. They have every document at hand. They have lawyers on call. They will wring you dry for every penny they can. You cannot give the slightest excuse. Don't even try it. Don't try to say you lost something. Don't try to say something was a mistake. You're going to jail. You will be punished. You will be wrung like a dirty rag by the government. Oh, but when it's the government's job, well, it's gone. Sorry, we lost it, and whoops, moving on. It's just the way that it is. That's just the way power works in this world when you have a government composed of, by, and for corporate lackeys and bootlicking sycophants. Libertarianism and the militia may be the only way to go. And on that note, let's talk about what's happening in Virginia. Now, I played yesterday on the War Room a phone call by a YouTube channel called High Impact Vlogs, or High Impact Flicks with an X. They called a member of a sergeant in the Virginia National Guard, because you remember that Virginia, the Democrats, they got in because, well, let's start at the beginning, shall we? Let's follow this trail. Let's watch the dominoes knock into one another. So first, the Democrats get in and open up the doors for immigration. They open up the doors to people from other countries that are guaranteed to vote socialist and vote for Democrats. So first, they flood Virginia with demographic warfare in order to ensure that they're able to maintain power. So that's what happened first. And then that came to fruition. The Democrats were able to take power in that state, and they immediately launched on their socialistic anti-Second Amendment, anti-First Amendment, anti-constitutional program of destroying the freedoms and the rights of the people of Virginia. Just immediately launched right into that. So they started talking about going after guns, and you had local law enforcement, including sheriffs and others, saying we will not enforce an unconstitutional order. And so the reaction from Virginia Democratic lawmakers in the state house was to say, then we'll bring in the National Guard and we'll force it. You know, kind of like it's basically the same thing as letting black kids go to nice schools in the South. It's basically the same thing. You call in the National Guard to enforce that because you're such a virtuous person. So he's doing basically the same thing. He's just trying to disarm his own citizens. Remember, as I said earlier, they don't want the guns. They want you. The guns are in the way. So they want to get rid of the guns. And so they threaten to bring in the National Guard. Well, this guy at High Impact Flicks calls the National Guard and says, would you actually go along with this? Basically, the National Guard guy says, you know, that those orders have not come down. There's not even been official discussion about that because it was just an off-the-cuff statement. But he basically said, we're not going to follow any orders that are unconstitutional. He said, our first order of loyalty is to the Constitution, then to United States people, and then, you know, down the line are the rats in the state house. So that's nice, and that's good to hear and refreshing because it's looking a little tenuous there for a moment. But don't relax on your haunches. Don't think that just because some supposed spokesperson says, nah, that's probably not going to happen, you still got to be prepared. So luckily that's happening. Uprising, 90% of Virginia counties become gun sanctuaries, expanding movement to 9 states. I'm sure y'all have seen the meme. There is one big gun sanctuary. It's called the United States of America, thanks to the Second Amendment and the geniuses who founded our great country. But Virginia County has passed a resolution to support raising pro-gun militia, which again, this is a Breitbart article, but just kind of funny to me to say pro-gun militia. Anti-gun militias don't last long, I would have to say. But the militia really is the answer to the questions that we're asking. If you look around the world at some of the successful resistance movements, they are just militias. That's all they are. You have to control your own safety. You have to not rely on the local law enforcement because then you're a subject of local law enforcement. The militia movement needs to be revived. It needs to shed any of this bad taste in people's mouths of the word militia. You picture a white nationalist supremacist, KKK, we're going to whatever. No. The militia is everyone. The militia is me. The militia is you. The militia is armed citizens protecting themselves. And a lot of the problems that we have would not be around if there were effective militias. That's why the FBI was so intent on destroying those militias in the 90s, as is well documented all over the place. So I want to go to a call from Ryan in Florida, but we're running out of time in this segment. So Ryan in Florida talking about militias when we come back on the other side, and we'll be talking about some other stuff going on in America as well as around the world. Freedom is being attacked at every angle, yet we are not slowing. We're not stopping. We are continuing to forge ahead in this battleship of freedom here, the InfoWars World Headquarters in Central Texas. This is Harrison Smith. Asking you, please go to InfoWarsStore.com to support what we do here. We are one of the last bastions of free speech in the world. We will not survive without your help. We've only gotten here with your help. We need it more. Thank you.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
Here's Smith in for the David Knight Show, going right out to your calls. Let's go to Ryan in Florida. We were talking about the militia movement, how that really is the answer to so much of the issues that we have. And, you know, if we had one already, maybe we wouldn't have gotten to this point. But now that we're here, we need the militia movement more than ever. Ryan from Florida, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Harrison, man, you're doing an awesome job, and I'm raging right there with you, man. Don't feel bad. It's clown world out there, man. It's worse than we thought.
It's insane.
But,
it's insane.
But I wanted to kind of allude to make a Star Wars reference here. I'm kind of worried about the whole the militias right now, because I feel like the militias in Virginia specifically are kind of on a hair trigger. They're ready to kind of go at any moment, depending on what the government does, which is what they're there for. That's fantastic. But I'm worried that they're going to be set up and they're going to be kind of false flag to be marked as terrorists if anything does happen, tying in with like Trump and the impeachment and everything. Because if you look at Star Wars Episode III, the Chancellor, he sets up this huge war, sets up all this stuff, he gets all this power, and then he kind of lays, he puts himself in a trap so the Jedi come and arrest him for treason, and then he spins it as they attack him, they're trying to take over, and they're now a threat to the, you know, to the Republic, and now every Jedi is now marked an enemy of the Republic, and they need to be hunted down and taken care of so that they can never rise again and be an issue. And now, and after that happens, what happens? Now you have an empire. You have an empire for decades, and I'm worried. I don't know how Trump may be, you know, instrumental in this. He might just be a bystander. He might be part of it. I'm a huge Trump supporter, but I'm not going to fully, you know, endorse him, you know, on 100%, you know, because I don't know what he's actually doing. So I'm really worried that they're going to be, the militia is going to be set up much like the Jedi, just so that they can be taken care of once and for all. No guns, no militia. You know, they're already attacking, like you said. You can't say militia on Facebook. You can't have a Ron Paul sticker on your car. You know, it's getting to that point already. So I'm really worried that they're going to set that up. And then there's going to be a power vacuum. So, like, let's say the militia does go in and arrest all these Democrats and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's great. But then what? Because all the people, the Republicans and the Democrats both, are corrupt. And so who's going to run the government? You know what I mean? Who's going to take care of stuff? Because everybody in the government currently has been complicit and are allowing everything to happen. So I'm just curious on what your thoughts are on that.
Well, some great points. You know, you've proved conclusively why the prequels are better than the sequels. And I will be talking about Star Wars later in the program. Fear not, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, yes. We will be talking about the latest iteration of the Star Wars canon. I got a lot to say about that. But your point is a great one. And, of course, the militia movement has been the target of this concerted effort for a very long time. And there is no doubt that it will be increasing. In fact, over the last year or so, we've seen the FBI especially turn their gaze, the eye of Sauron gaze, away from Islamic terrorism towards so-called domestic terrorism. And you see them now setting up autistic kids who, you know, are troubled and mentally unfit and convincing them to help out with stuff. So, yeah, it's primed. The media is primed. The government is primed. The FBI is primed to present the militias as some sort of domestic terror, white nationalist movement in order to come after them. I think what's different and what's good about what's happening in Virginia is exactly as this headline here says. Guys, can I bring that headline back up so I can see it? Because it's the sheriffs saying they're deputizing citizens for the Second Amendment sanctuary. It's got the backing of local governments. And so ideally what you and it's in response to the anti-Second Amendment gun control measures passed by the Virginia legislature. So it's not just getting together to try to force their will on anybody else. It's a protective measure in order to protect our rights from encroachment by the government. And I think since that is the case, it's really hard to say how exactly they'll be able to spin that as, oh, these people are dangerous or whatever. You know, it's a classic. It's the meme from the red flag laws where it's like, oh, if you're confused about why somebody would die for their 30-round magazine, the question you need to be asking is, why does the government want to kill somebody for a 30-round magazine? It's because they want you, and the guns are in the way. So,
one more thing.
Go ahead.
I encourage everybody to go and watch Rules of Engagement, the Waco documentary that Alex Jones has promoted before, and then also the Oklahoma City bomb. There's a Oklahoma City bombing. It's called A Noble Lie. These are all things that the Clintons and everybody, if you go watch, all the people in power right now, Schumer, Biden, anybody, they've all been instrumental in pushing this lie that white Christian, gun-toting people who want to be off on their own and that are strong, you know, family units, that these are the biggest threats to America. And they've shown that they have no problem sending the government in to murder everybody and then parade around that they were the good guys.
Yep, blame it on the victims, yeah.
Exactly. This is what happens when you start, you know, stockpiling guns or having a religion that's, you know, not Islam. And, you know, all this stuff. And if you look at, you know, what happened at Waco compared to what happened with the, the New Mexico compound of these, you know, the jihadis that were training the school shooters, that just got swept under the rug, and that was far more dangerous to the national security than the people at Waco. And what happened with that? One of the moms just got basically acquitted. She's like, oh, she's mentally unstable to be in trial, so we're just going to let her go. It's like, well, she's stable enough to, you know, murder her children in a ritualistic sacrifice and train them to do school shootings and all this stuff, and the government's just going to bulldoze the compound, say, oh, it's not a problem. We need to focus on those Christians and those, you know, one percenters. So
yep.
I encourage everybody to do that.
And it just goes back to the theme of the day, which is there is no law. We do not live in a country that has rule of law. If there was rule of law, the whole idea of law, right? The whole idea of having laws on books and juries and judges and all of this stuff is that everybody's treated equally. Everybody is under the same strictures with the same punishments for the same crimes. That's not the case. That's just not the case. As Ryan in Florida points out, you can have a Islamic child sacrificing school shooting training jihadi compound in the middle of the desert, and it's just, well, they're just kind of silly, so just let them go. They don't even have to stand trial. Forget it. Meanwhile, compound of Christians in the middle of Texas bothering no one, simply armed slightly heavier than the government prefers, they get burned to death. They get locked in their building and lit on fire. Men, women, and children burned to death by the U.S. government. Where's the rule of law? And of course, Waco and the Oklahoma City bombing, these are the perfect examples, or the perfect, examples of the destruction of the militia movement. That was the point of that. That was why these things were carried out. That's what happened to the militia movement. That's why it went away for so long. It needs to come back. It is coming back in Virginia. And, we'll worry about that power vacuum when we get to it. I think that's my answer to the question of what to do in that situation. So thanks so much for the call, Ryan,
much,
Ryan Florida. Yeah, that was great.
A powerful fist you will make.
Oh yeah, folks, we're gonna talk about Star Wars in a little bit. I think on the other side of this break, I'm going to show as much as I can of this video by Yuri Bezmenov. Yuri Bezmenov was a former KGB agent from Russia who came to America and gave a series of interviews and lectures where he talks about, from the KGB perspective, how the Soviet Union and the communists are ideologically subverting and destroying America from within. Now, he made these comments in 1984. Well, it's been nonstop, continuous continuation of this subversion. It's only increased in the time since then. But YouTube removed this video for hate speech. So, you know what InfoWars is going to do? We're going to show you it. We're going to broadcast it over TV. We're going to broadcast it over the radio. We're going to do everything we can to circumvent the censorship that YouTube is engaged in to try to hide the methods that communists use to take over freedom-loving countries.
I'm ready for it.
I'll give you two reasons to support InfoWars by going to InfoWarsStore.com. The first is I'm about to circumvent the censorship of YouTube, who used its hate speech laws in order to take down Yuri Bezmenov, KGB defector, from revealing to the Western world the ways in which the communists have infiltrated and subverted our most important national institutions. So I'm going to show you that video, and that's something that InfoWars is dedicated to doing, bringing you information like this, despite the fact that the communists who run YouTube don't want anybody to see this. So that's one reason you might want to support us, is because we're actually fighting for free speech and against the inevitable onslaught of communism that we see coming down the pipe. The other reason is because just the way things work here, I got a call from a caller not too long ago who was talking about Patrick Howley is in some sort of confusion or some sort of fight with Dan Bongino, and I don't know much about this, so what do? We call Patrick Howley, and he agrees to come on at 10:30. So at 10:30, I will be joined by Patrick Howley to clear up exactly what's going on, get his side of the story, and bring it to you, the Info Warriors out there, so you can know exactly what's going on. That's a level of, I don't want to call it power, but, influence. Like, not everybody can just get a call from somebody about somebody else and call that person and have them on for a live interview, you know, an hour later. And we can only do that because Alex Jones and InfoWars, we've built up, they've built up, and you, the InfoWars out there, have built up this platform where we can do that type of stuff, where we still have the sway, where we still have the influence, and we still have the audience that allows us to do this type of stuff. And so InfoWarsStore.com supports everything we do here, and it's the only way to continue and to expand in the face of the destruction that is being wrought upon us by the swamp rats in D.C. and San Francisco and Silicon Valley there. So without any further ado, I want to go to this banned, forbidden, dangerous video of Yuri Bezmenov, and I'm just going to let it go for a little while. And there's a quote at one point in here where Yuri Bezmenov says, he's talking about how it's been 30 years of indoctrination. Again, this is in 1984. And he says, the result? You can see the result. Well, you can see the result. The result is this video gets taken off of YouTube. But here he is, Yuri Bezmenov.
Well, you spoke several times before about ideological subversion. That is a phrase that I'm afraid some Americans don't fully understand. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the process which is legitimate, overt, and open. You can see it with your own eyes. All you have to do, all American mass media has to do, is to unplug their bananas from their ears, open up their eyes, and they can see it. There's no mystery. There's nothing to do with espionage. I know that espionage intelligence gathering looks more romantic. It sells more deodorants through the advertising, probably. That's why your Hollywood producers are so crazy about James Bond type of thrillers. But in reality, the main emphasis of the KGB is not in the area of intelligence at all. According to my opinion and opinion of many defectors of my caliber, only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The result you can see, most of the people who graduated in the 60s, dropouts or half-baked intellectuals, are now occupying the positions of power in the government, civil service, business, mass media, educational system. You are stuck with them. You cannot get rid of them. They are contaminated. They are programmed to think and react to certain stimuli in a certain pattern. You cannot change their mind, even if you expose them to authentic information, even if you prove that white is white and black is black, you still cannot change the basic perception and the logic of behavior. In other words, these people, the process of demoralization is complete and irreversible. To get rid society of these people, you need another 20 or 15 years to educate a new generation of patriotically minded common sense people who would be acting in favor and in the interests of the United States society.
And yet these people who've been programmed and, as you say, in place, and yes, who are favorable to an opening with the Soviet concept, mm-hmm, these are the very people who would be marked for extermination in this country?
Most of them, yes. Simply because the psychological shock when they will see in future what the beautiful society of equality and social justice means in practice, obviously they will revolt. They will be very unhappy, frustrated people. And the Marxist-Leninist regime does not tolerate these people. They will join the links of dissenters, dissidents.
Yes.
Unlike in present United States, there will be no place for dissent in future Marxist-Leninist America. Here you can get popular like Daniel Ellsberg and filthy rich like Jane Fonda for being dissident, for criticizing your Pentagon. In future, these people will be simply squashed like cockroaches. Nobody is going to pay them nothing for their beautiful, noble ideas of equality. This they don't understand, and it will be the greatest shock for them, of course. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over-fulfilled, because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. So basically America is stuck with demoralization, and unless, even if you start right now, here, this minute, you start educating new generation of Americans, it will still take you 15 to 20 years to turn the tide of ideological perception of reality back to normalcy and patriotism. The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world, that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely.
Folks, we are beyond normalization. It has been thoroughly embedded into our society. So that was in 1984, and he says the process is nearly complete. It's been, 35 years of continued, pointed indoctrination since then. He says we need an entire generation of concerted effort in promoting American causes over communistic ones. Yeah, at least. That's hate speech, by the way.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
I've got a hunch it's going extremely well, and I've got a hunch that all the experts elsewhere may just have got it wrong.
The 31st of January.
And there we are. Yeah. That is
an absolutely extraordinary result. This is terrible, isn't it? And it's a total rejection of your politics, of your style of politics in the Labour Party and everything that you've done with the Corbyn project.
Well, it would seem that way.
I suppose it's a catastrophic result for the country and for everything that the Labour Party exists to fight for, the people it was founded to champion, to represent. And I'm so sorry to people watching this who are full of dismay and horror and who are scared.
Disbelief at first.
Jeremy Corbyn. We won the argument.
Sure, Jan.
You had the worst result for Labour in 85 years.
Yeah, you really won the argument.
Greatest defeat for Labour since 1935. Jeremy Corbyn. We won! Jeremy Corbyn. We won.
Bruh.
We won the argument, but I regret we didn't convert that into balls into the goal. The operation was a complete success. I'm delighted with the results. The patient, however, is dead. I nearly ran the country, you know. Of course you did. Let's get you ready for bed. You want to know why Labour lost? Because the left has abandoned the core principle of what they once represented, the interests of the working class. They won a single seat in a wealthy area of London and lost dozens in the poorest parts of the UK, the areas devastated by mass immigration and deindustrialisation. When the new face of Labour sounds like this...
And to see working class people caring about Boris Johnson, they're shooting themselves in the face. It's disgusting. Working class people, they're disgusting.
Posh, plummy, condescending, jumped up, self-entitled, latte-sipping London bubble brats. Is it any wonder you stopped resonating with the working class? You can't be the party of old mining towns and the party of Extinction Rebellion.
It's disgusting, and I wish him the worst. I wish him a horrible death. I plan to work in the NHS. I plan to be a doctor.
So let me get this straight. You're planning to work as a doctor, and you're wishing a, quote, horrible death on someone for their political views.
I wish him a horrible death. I plan to be a doctor.
Yeah, those two things don't really seem to fit. If I'm ever in hospital and I see you coming down the corridor, I don't care how ill I am, I'm going to be out of there quicker than if Harold Shipman had just turned up.
Disgusting.
It's a myth that Labour lost the working class, published 2 days before the election, after which Labour lost dozens of working class seats. Should have come on my show, Ash. Then you might have reached some actual working class people outside of student activist LARPers. Ash Sarkar, day one of a Labour government. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely flabbergasted that this didn't resonate with working class people in northern areas like Don Valley, Blythe and Bolsover. Truly shocked.
I'm literally a communist.
Bruh.
Literally a communist, walks like a supermodel, f***s like someone who just helped gift the Tories a landslide victory. I mean, what a shocker that this didn't resonate.
Today I'm running to the polling station. Why? Because f*** Boris.
Bruh.
What a shocker that Stormzy calling Boris Johnson a f***ing prick didn't resonate with anyone apart from 14-year-olds who can't even vote. What a shocker that shilling for an identity politics police state which arrests mothers in their own homes for misgendering someone online didn't resonate.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the Labour Party. My pronouns are he, him.
Bruh.
Alan Partridge is an ill-informed and ignorant, and therefore he's a Conservative and a Brexiteer, so there you go.
So he'd be voting Boris Johnson?
Yes, I think the reason the Tories don't invest as much money in education is because they depend on a certain level of ignorance for their support.
Bruh.
Multi-millionaire Hollywood lovey Steve Coogan calling Brexit supporters ill-informed,
why didn't you vote
ignorant
for us,
and uneducated.
That's Paul Joseph Watson on the UK election. You got to see that full video. We only got through about half of it. See that full video at band.video and infowars.com. Share that around. Paul Joseph Watson absolutely destroying it once again. That's fantastic stuff. Why didn't you vote for us, you uneducated idiots? We want you dead.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Third hour of The David Knight Show begins. This is Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. Tomorrow, Tony Arterburn will be in studio, once again, ably taking over for David Knight. So you are not going to want to miss that. He's always got amazing information. He also was a champion power lifter. He doesn't promote himself enough, but Tony Arterburn, there's videos of him online where he's a monster. He looks like the Incredible Hulk. The man knows what he's talking about, so make sure to tune in tomorrow morning when that happens. Make sure to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support everything that we do here. We do so appreciate it. And there are some late breaking news pieces that I'm seeing come over the Twitter wire here, the Twitter front, as we call it. This is amazing. This is Representative James Clyburn, the majority whip for the Democrats, has suggested on CNN this morning that they will never send the impeachment proceedings to the Senate. The interviewer asks him, quote, "Are you suggesting it's possible that you will never submit the articles of impeachment?" And he replies, "If it were me, yes, that's what I'm saying." So we may never get the Senate trial because who cares about the laws? Who cares about the rules? You know, you're only doing this because Trump broke the rules, according to you. You're only doing this to save the very important processes of the American government. But, you know, when they don't fit your own agenda, when they don't suit your ideology and your attempts to unseat a sitting president, they don't matter. They don't matter. Run roughshod. Nobody cares, right? Nobody cares. We don't have a rule of law in this country. We have a rule of people, and those people are awful. They are horrible, horrible, evil people. Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Nadler. My God, Nadler. I'm still angry about that clip that we showed earlier in the show. There's another video that is appearing from last night of German farmers flooding the streets of, I believe it's Berlin. Now, this is a uprising that has spread out. It began in the Netherlands. It's continued into France, now in Germany. Guys, go ahead and pull up that video as B-roll. Incredible sights. Just an absolutely incredible sights. And if you're a radio listener, you got to get to band.video or infowars.com to see what we're seeing here. It's just a sea of blinking lights, the tractors clogging up the traffic, bringing that city to a screeching halt in protest of what else? The EU and their insane and completely restrictive global warming policies, their global climate change crisis policies that are essentially just destroying the rural voters. And, you know, it's interesting. It's like in the government, mistakes, these darn mistakes, you know, these happenstances that occur just completely by accident, and yet surprisingly are 100% in favor of the Democrats. I don't know how that happens, that every mistake made is in favor of the Democrats, in favor of covering up for the elites like Jeffrey Epstein. Oops. This video of his suicide disappeared. Sorry. The mistakes are always in favor of the evil. I know, it's just one of those things that happens to occur on a regular basis over and over and over again. Just happens to be, right? Well, it's just one of those things, I guess. But I'm going to read a couple more headlines here before I go back to your calls. We're going to Jim in Georgia, Jefferson in Virginia. I want to keep talking about impeachment. Get ready, guys. I'll go to you in just a second. But you know, just some headlines here. Atrocious racist stickers condemned. That's right, folks. They haven't gotten it yet. They still don't understand. This is the prank. Atrocious racist stickers. It's okay to be white. It's okay to be white. We've talked about it before. The level of brainwashing that had to occur prior to this headline is absolutely astonishing. For the term "it's okay to be white" to be considered racist is very powerful evidence of brainwashing, of the inability for normal, regular people to just rationally observe and figure out what's going on in the world. Scotland's deputy first minister he has condemned the appearance of stickers bearing the slogan "It's okay to be white." It is not okay to be white. That's the message. We must stand together to resist this. In Scotland, it's like the whitest place ever. Not okay. Not okay to be white. Michelle Wolf says, "Aborting my baby made me feel powerful like God." I'm sorry, it was Michelle Wolf, so let me read it like her. "Aborting my baby made me feel powerful like God. I'm so powerful, I can kill a baby." Isn't that crazy how powerful I am? The audience applauds. And, you know, it's just, this is what has occurred, is that it's gone from, you know, the days of abortion with Bill Clinton and even Obama saying, rare but safe, right? Whatever they're saying was. It was like they at least acknowledged that killing a baby is not the most beneficial thing. Like, it's not something you want to brag about and do all the time, right? But it's like, what, you know, if it's necessary, then we got to make sure it's safe. And yeah, that's what we want to do. It's just like, boop, that's out the window, gone. Now it's celebrating. Now it's you will be like a god. Is there any question of whether or not Satan is at work in this world? Michelle Wolf, you vessel of evil. You're not a vessel of anything else, that's for damn sure. But you are impregnated with, you are carrying the baby of your father, the devil. You lying sack of crap. Michelle Wolf, feeling powerful and like a god because I killed my baby. It's like, you know how God kills babies? It's kind of like that. I'm God, you monster. All right, Jim in Georgia wants to talk about impeachment. Thanks for calling in. Jim in Georgia, you are on the air.
Harrison.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah.
Don't have much time for the next break. Jim, what do you got?
Also, thank you for giving us a follow on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can. I followed you on Twitter. Good to hear.
Oh, yeah, thank you. But, the guy that answered the phone for you guys told me no cussing. So
that's accurate.
I'll do my best. Oh, my God. These people, what's happening? Think about the world, how they're looking at us. This is projecting weakness.
Yeah.
And they're doing this on purpose. Everything they're doing is of Satan. I cannot believe the Democratic Party has gotten this far off. Even they've always been wicked. Always.
Yep.
But they're making their move. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what move that is, but it's terrible. And I'm scatterbrained because I'm really pissed. But,
right.
All these people, I'm sorry, two people, trust what plan? I've never understood that. Like, what plan did the patriots that founded this country ever trust? Is there a plan there?
Right.
It's infuriating, really. They're never, ever going to stop until they are punished by the law. And that means, or by us, okay? Or by us. And we're going to have justice one way or another. And it'll be a lot better for them to deal with the law from those people out there than it will be from us.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier in the show about, you know, the apocalypse, the end times. It's like, you know, maybe that's the case. Maybe that's true. Maybe there is a plan. Maybe Q's right and we don't have to do anything. But you know what? Don't rely on that. Don't live your life as if someone's going to swoop in and save you. If they do, great. Then all the stuff that you did, the preparations, they weren't necessary. But what if they are necessary? What if you do need to be fighting back? What if we do need to be taking a stand, calling our congressman, going to InfoWarsStore.com and making a purchase? What if we do need to be fighting back against this because there is no plan, because there is no one to trust? What if that's the case? So prepare for the worst. Prepare for the hardest road, and you'll be ready for anything. All right, folks, in about 10 minutes, I'll be joined by Patrick Howley to discuss some of what's going on in politics today, as well as exactly what's going down with him in Epoch Times. Of course, he's with the National File now. I'm not sure if he was before, but he is now, and that's run by Tom Papert. Of course, a friend of the show, has his own show here on InfoWars, and really an amazing publication. That's another thing that has been a theme of the 2019 year, and that is the utter, absolute, unstoppable collapse of progressive media outlets and the corresponding rise of new and powerful conservative media outlets and conservative, not just media outlets, but things like Band.Video, new video hosting site from InfoWars, Summit News, Paul Joseph Watson, National File, Discern, the newspaper or, you know, web news site by the founder of the Babylon Bee. So many new and amazing outlets have emerged over the last year, while meanwhile, it's just collapse after collapse. BuzzFeed, Vice, Fox, CNN, they all are just crumbling constantly. You know what I'm going to do? Talk about Star Wars. I haven't even done that yet. So the latest Star Wars movie has come out. It's called Rise of Skywalker. According to Forbes magazine, Rise of Skywalker is the worst Star Wars movie ever. And that's high praise considering what other people are saying about it. Worst movie ever. But, you know, there's something very interesting. Star Wars is something other than a pop culture phenomenon. It is something beyond a simple movie or a simple movie trilogy. There are certain things that embed themselves so deeply into the psyche of a nation, into the psyche of the world or people in general. They do. They rise beyond their temporal shell. They go beyond just being another piece of cinematic fiction. It becomes emblematic. The image of Darth Vader is the image of evil that a lot of Americans will summon to mind. If you're asked to say, who is the embodiment of evil? Darth Vader comes to mind. He is emblematic of that. He is the symbol of domination and heartless, half-machine, half-man destruction without a care for the weakness of humanity, the weakness of love, right? And so there's a reason that these things have happened, and there's a reason that Star Wars is so celebrated and the effect that it had on the American populace in general. So how amazing is it that now we have a meta story, right? We have a story of the movies as they've occurred in the last few years, in which evil is even more powerfully portrayed. So what has happened? This amazing, American icon, Star Wars, was sold by George Lucas to the Disney Corporation with the express, by the way, assurance that he would be able to dictate in some way the progression of the story, what would happen in the movies. He sold the child of his mind, and they have enslaved it. They have destroyed it. They have utterly torn down not just the franchise in general, but they basically have gone back in time and made the original trilogy completely obsolete. They've ruined any meaning that was once held in those films. And this is the process that most companies go through, that most inventions go through. You have one guy, George Lucas. He's got a dream. Nobody else believes in it. It's just him. Even the actors didn't think it was a serious movie when they were in it. They thought it was going to be some B or C movie that was released on video or Laserdisc, whatever they had in the 70s. And they didn't care. It was just George Lucas. He had the idea. He had the inspiration. He used Joseph Campbell's Hero of a Thousand Faces, as he was taught by Joseph Campbell at University of California. And he invented new ways of doing effects. He founded a company to do sound effects because nobody was up to his standard. He changed the cinematic world, and he created something that became embedded in the American psyche, I believe, for the better. It was a tale of faith. It was a tale of love. It was a tale of never giving up, of conquering even the most insurmountable evil and destroying it through the power of the Force, which is now what everybody just understands. You know, if you say, the idea of telepathy is now just the Force, right? Lightsabers, just this iconic weapon. Everything about it is amazing. So you have this one guy, this one idea, driving it home, making it happen against all odds, creating something so monumental and incredible. And then here comes the corporations. Here come the people with the money, the money bags, the banks, the financiers, and they scoop it up. They grab it and they just wring its neck. They squeeze it dry. They corrupt it. They destroy it. They ruin everything that it stood for. They undermine the very movie itself. They just decimate it. They ravage it. And that's a polite way of saying it. They ravage it. They destroy it. They milk it dry. Now there's video games. There's TVs. There's a new series, a new trilogy, coming down the pipes. It's just absolutely destroyed. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. If you're not completely controlled, if you are actually just a regular person who's trying to see a good movie, you know that these movies are trash and that they have just thrown a bucket of dirty water all over the once great mythology that George Lucas created. And so what has happened to these people who have destroyed Star Wars? What has happened to these people who have been given a iconic, emblematic symbol of American greatness and just absolutely taken everything they can from it, ripped every penny they can out of it while using it as a vehicle for their own ideological subversion of the American way and to force in feminism and all this other bullcrap that nobody cares about. It doesn't have a place in movies in general, as far as I'm concerned, but especially not in something as powerful and as important as Star Wars. And it really is. Again, I'm not going to sit there and cry at a trailer, but you don't have to be a super fan consumerist Disney slave to understand that this is an important thing. So what has happened to him? Well, J.J. Abrams, of course, has been instrumental in the destruction of Star Wars, and he was just offered $500 million to take full control of Superman, Batman, DC. Just hand that over to him, too, because why not? He already destroyed Star Wars. Give him superheroes as well. He'll go ahead and destroy those. Rian Johnson. Rian Johnson was the one who made The Last Jedi, where they humiliated and destroyed the greatest hero in cinematic history, Luke Skywalker. They humiliated him. They rub his face in the dirt. They just destroy him. Destroyed him, humiliated him, absolutely disgusting. Well, he's going to be in charge of the next Star Wars trilogy. That's his reward for destroying it. What about, the Game of Thrones guys? They call him D&D, David Burnoff and D.B. Weiss, who infuriated everybody by just making an absolute travesty of the final season of Game of Thrones. They were offered Star Wars as well. Here you go. Have Star Wars to destroy now. This is what I mean by there are no laws, there are no rules. Forget the government. Just look at corporations. Look at how in this world you can just fail. You can not just fail, but destroy an American icon. You can take Star Wars and stomp it into the dust for your own perverse amusement, and you're rewarded. You're given more things to destroy. You're pushed forward. You're promoted. Well done. Well done. You've destroyed it all. And so how amazing is it that the symbol of evil for me is no longer Darth Vader? It's Hollywood executives. That is what evil looks like.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. I am happy to be joined by Patrick Howley, reporter extraordinaire. You can find his work at The National File. You can follow him on Twitter at Howley Reporter. That's the Twitter handle, Howley Reporter. Patrick Howley, thank you so much for being on with me today.
My friend, it's great to be here.
Very good to hear from you. And, I'm not sure if you caught the show earlier, but basically somebody called in and I'm so tied down with impeachment stuff. I had no idea there's drama occurring behind the scenes. I hadn't heard much about it. Apparently there's some sort of tiff between you and Dan Bongino. I really haven't had time to research it. So why don't you just walk me through exactly what is going on?
Well, Dan Bongino worked on the Ted Cruz campaign as a surrogate back in the 2016 primary. He's a conservative ink guy. He sort of rebranded himself as a Trump guy. But those people have always hated me because I was the first one out there in the Iowa caucus, part of the Trump effort, right? And just was burning all those guys at the time. And I embarrassed them. They never forgot it. So in recent weeks, he's been trolling me on Twitter. He's called me a few names and whatnot. And in the most recent couple iterations of this, I finally just snapped back at him because, look, this guy's not Stephen Miller. okay? He might get retweeted by the president, but he's not the senior advisor. So I basically said, look, Dan, I posted a clip of him saying that the government should surveil 8chan in order to surveil for maniacs because he thinks people on 8chan are maniacs. And then I popped them and I said that he didn't write his own books. He got a ghostwriter to write his own books. And so he flipped out. So, you know, look, I don't really back down on Twitter, but whatever. I mean, it wasn't like my most professional moment, but he took all of the tweets, the screenshots of them, and he got an intermediary to go to the publisher of the Epoch Times. And he's like, do you stand behind this? And the Epoch Times, great people. I'm so blessed to do my to have done my Child Protective Services reporting for them. They're doing great work in Hong Kong, but they're not really all that plugged into these kinds of dynamics. And so, you know, with everything they're going through, they were just like, all right, why don't you just move on, you know?
Oh, man. Well, that's such a bummer. Yeah. And, you know, you never know, because just on the surface, if you don't do a lot of research, I usually like what Dan Bongino has to say. Stuff I see retweeted of his, I'm like, hey, this guy seems like he's on the ball. But then you hear he's going around doing this sort of SJW kind of style stuff, getting somebody fired. Really unfair. But so this is strictly because of your tweets to him? He used these tweets to get you fired in a sort of petty sort of way? Or does this have something to do about something you exposed of his?
Well, yeah, he didn't like the 8chan bit or the thing about him not writing his books. The last time I just challenged him, I said, Dan, why don't you address the Child Protective Services crisis? Why don't you use your platform instead of trolling me and calling me these names to just address what's going on with CPS taking these kids and human trafficking them? Instead of doing that, he spent his time then trying to deplatform me from the Epoch Times, where, frankly, even though I was just a freelancer, my series on CPS has become a national phenomenon. Lifetime wants to make a documentary about this. I've changed the game with this reporting at the Epoch Times. It's okay. I'm moving it over to nationalfile.com, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, it's great that something like National File exists that you can move to. Of course, Epoch Times is another one that I usually really like their reporting. But, you know, if they're not going to stand up for you, it's a little disappointing. But, you know, they've got their own concerns, I suppose, with their own reasons for doing it. And I'm not really sure about that. But, yeah, you're one of these actual reporters, right? You actually break stories. You actually reveal new information. I'm not one of these. I read what other people write and I give my take on it and I try to draw lines and parallels, but you actually break stories, right? And so what was this CPS series for our listeners? What did you uncover there?
So essentially, I uncovered that there are massive child prostitution rings going on in the foster care system all over the United States. Child Protective Services takes kids out of their homes, oftentimes for no reason at all. Anybody can lodge an anonymous tip. And Antifa is going around the country doing this, especially in Oregon. They take the kids out of the homes, they put them in foster care, and then in foster care, they're exposed to child prostitution. If you're a poor kid, especially in the black community, these kids are getting human trafficked all over the country. I proved that. And once I proved that in a relatively mainstream newspaper, you know, it changed the game. There's now, you know, reform efforts going on in Arizona, in Oregon, elsewhere. These things have not been very successful yet, but, you know, it's just the first inning, basically. And then, you know, I exposed Nancy Pelosi for nationalfile.com. I exposed how her son weaponized Child Protective Services to take the children away from his ex-companion in order to try to fleece her out of her building and intimidate her into, you know, getting punished in this business deal. And so he used CPS up there to weaponize against her and take her kids. And it turns out that all these years back, the Pelosis have had very close associations with a pedophile. They were renting office space to this well-known pedophile who was running the First Five Commission in California, which was chaired by Rob Reiner. And this is the most powerful thing up there when it comes to CPS and taking these kids away. So I'm busting that right now as we speak. They are in absolute panic mode. Paul Pelosi Jr., Nancy Pelosi's son, has been stalking me and creating fake Twitter accounts to troll me.
You are a menace, it seems. you are saying things that a lot of people don't want you to say, which is why I wanted to have you on and to support you and to tell people to support you. And I know I follow you on Twitter, and you're constantly coming out with great things, amazing stuff. How do you go about gathering your information? Do you require or do you rely on people leaking stuff to you, whistleblowers bringing stuff to you? How do you find these scoops?
Well, it's sort of twofold. First of all, I listen to Citizen. Citizen, you know, I have an open tip line, and I actually read what people send me, and I listen to people when they call me on the phone, and I hear them out, which other reporters don't. And that's been the vast majority of the scoops. I also have people who are embedded in the Trump administration since the transition period who have been directing me in the right place. So it's both an inside and an outside game.
Yeah, well, you are a dangerous person because you are clearly intelligent, connected, and have a platform, and they need to take that away from you because they can't have you exposing this type of stuff. And of course, CPS is one of these institutions where the government just has incredible power, and it sort of changes from state to state. How do you see is there anywhere in particular that this is especially virulent, or is it sort of just all over the country? Is this just something like everybody needs to be aware of?
It's really all over the country. Some states are worse than ever. I think Kentucky is basically just a human rights crisis like you would see in the third world at this point. Parents went in and had a meeting with Rand Paul. I briefed Rand Paul's chief of staff. I guess socialism sucks until it comes time to standing up to government human trafficking, because Rand Paul is MIA, nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. Same with Ted Cruz, same with the rest of them. So there is a tremendous institutional pressure right now to get me to shut up and to get all these parents to shut up. It's not going to happen. President Trump has passed the Family First Act. He has made some efforts to relicense Christian care providers and has provided some money for this. Doesn't go nearly far enough, however. And so, you know, the battle continues.
So why are these people MIA? Well, do you have any speculation on that? Because again, it's like Rand Paul, I love what he's doing. Don Bongino, I usually like what he's doing. Then you hear this type of stuff and it's like, well, what am I missing? Why are they not in support of what you're coming out with?
It's rigged from top to bottom, and it's rigged from bottom to top, because what happens is there's an entire industry behind it. The federal government gives Social Security dollars. This is why Social Security is bankrupt, because they give the Social Security money to states in order to pay for CPS agencies every time a child is adopted out of foster care. And because Hillary Clinton pushed for this law back in 1997 to set a 15-month limit on how long a kid can stay in foster care, all these parents are just getting brushed off for 15 months. Then their kid gets adopted away. The state gets the money and the parents never hear from the kids again. And a lot of these adoptive parents are just as bad as the foster care parents. There are millions, definitely thousands, I would say probably even millions through history, of cases of pedophiles and human traffickers getting kids who they are not related to. These parents are being separated from their children. Nobody wants to talk about that right down at the border. This is happening at the border. It's happening with illegal immigrant kids, by the way. Okay. A lot of these churches down there are human trafficking these kids.
It's incredibly worrying. Can you stay on for one more segment with me, Patrick?
Of course.
Okay. All right. You can follow Patrick Howley at Howley Reporter. That's his Twitter handle there. He's at the National File, which is, of course, head by Tom Papert of InfoWars fame. We'll be right back on the other side to talk more about this. This is one of the crises of our country. And of course, it's becoming more intense because now you're seeing in Europe and you're seeing it here as well. CPS taking kids away for things like not allowing their kid to transition into a different gender. And suddenly that is enough to get your kid taken away. It's ideological as well. So we'll get it into more of it now. Final segment of the David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. Folks, please go to InfoWarsStore.com and support everything that we do here at InfoWars. I really, we can't thank you enough when you do that, because that's why we're able to do this. Why we're able to get great guests like Patrick Howley, who is joining me on the phone right now. You can follow him at Howley Reporter on Twitter. You can see his work now at National File. Now that Don Bongino has worked his rat-like manipulations, his snitching, this underhanded, cowardly kind of getting people fired by flexing your own influence and saying, you know, I'll bring trouble if you don't do as I say and fire this person that's bothering me on Twitter. It's all just nonsense. Sounds like you're the total victim here, Patrick. And luckily you were sort of popular enough and people know your reporting and trust you enough that you're able to move over to National File and keep this incredible work going. So that's very good to hear. Now, we're talking about your CPS breakdown before the break. And you mentioned Nancy Pelosi's son, and sort of a ding went off in my head, and I thought, wasn't there something to do with the Ukraine and Nancy Pelosi's son? But I didn't say anything because I couldn't quite remember. I look over, I've got your Twitter pulled up, and here just an hour ago, you tweeted this exact thing. Boom, Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr., who went to Ukraine in 2017, was a board member of Viscoil and executive of a company, NRG Lab, which did energy business in the Ukraine. So if you don't mind, we'll move away from CPS and into this impeachment proceedings, because this is something that I don't think people are talking about enough. The fact that so many Democrats, it wasn't just Joe Biden, it's John Kerry, it's Nancy Pelosi, it's George Soros. So much corruption has occurred in Ukraine. It's the House of Cards. And I think that's why they so fervently went into impeachment mode as soon as they realized Trump was poking into Ukraine. Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, it's World War III, Harrison. Here's what was happening. All of these Democrats were putting their kids on the board of these Ukrainian gas companies so that they could fleece money from themselves. Why were they investing in Ukraine? Because they knew that after Bush and Obama destabilized the Middle East and knocked out those pan-Arab dictators, you remember their original plan was to knock out all of the dictators in those countries, they put ISIS in charge of the oil wells. That's why McCain and Obama created ISIS. ISIS was put in charge of the oil wells to undercut everybody else in the region on oil. Then the Ukrainian oil firms were going to box out Putin and get in to the Middle Eastern oil business, and they were going to build a pipeline through Syria in order to start selling all the oil into the European Union, cutting Putin out of the oil market. So Poroshenko, this corrupt Ukrainian politician, says to them, look, if you guys want to make money on this, you're going to have to give me $250 million so that if Russia attacks, I can start a war with him and fight back. That's what the $250 million was all about. They didn't think that Trump was actually going to win. Once Trump actually won, he shut the whole thing down. A, by destroying ISIS and seizing the oil wells for the U.S. government, which Cheney and Obama never had any interest of doing because they wanted to keep this off the books in the private sector, right?
Yep.
And because this guy Zelensky won, who they didn't see coming, this comedian, right? And so Zelensky's anti-corruption too. So now Trump and Zelensky are talking and they're saying, hey, you know, we're going to get out of this deal. We don't want to, you know, put all of our boys in harm's way, potentially start a nuclear war with Russia just so that Nancy Pelosi can make money for herself. And so once that happened, Soros and all of them freaked out. And that's why we have the most ridiculous impeachment ever in American history. And Trump is now going to be the only impeached president to win re-election.
That's absolutely incredible. You have such a talent of tying it all in together. And the crew just dropped me a little piece of information as well that Zelensky won the presidency there in the Ukraine 2 days before Joe Biden announced his run for the presidency. So, I mean, I think you're exactly right. It all lines up perfectly to be that way. And like I said, it's just this is the house of cards that they're trying to protect. And they see Donald Trump coming over and starting to poke into it, starting to poke around and ask questions. And they're like, we need to shut this down. We need to frame it as if he's doing this for his own election, when really it's their own, you know, their own a piggy bank that he's threatening to shatter. So I think that's absolutely amazing. And so what do you think is – do you think it's just been sort of put on hold, the investigations into what's going on in the Ukraine? Is he waiting for impeachment to be over to start that up? Or do you think all of this – you know, the investigation into all this corruption is continuing on? Do you have any sort of behind-the-scenes insight into that?
Well, Trump has made it a priority to fire a lot of these Obama administration holdovers like Marie Yovanovitch and also Baghdadi, al-Baghdadi, who was, of course, working for the Obama administration. So you have once he crushed ISIS and took the oil, it really changed the game, because then the United States finally controls the risk board. And once the United States controls the risk board, then all these cockroaches start scattering. And the cockroaches were banking on Hillary Clinton winning and allowing them to get rich, controlling the oil off the books in this criminal enterprise. So, I mean, this is really what these people were doing in the government. I know it's hard for a lot of people to accept that. They don't want to think that all these elected officials were in there solely just to make money from the oil industry, but that is actually what they do. They get in there and they immediately think, how can I make money off of oil? That's their whole game. That's all they do.
Right, right. Well, and to me, it's not just about money either. It's they see the world as a risk board, and you know they're willing to fund something like ISIS and destroy lives and, you know, sex slaves and all this other just awful, awful stuff. not necessarily for the money alone, but because it helps them with other geopolitical advancements into their own schemes that they want to do. That's absolutely fantastic. Of course, again, I got to just say it again, because I want people to follow you, because clearly, just, you know, from what you're saying in this segment, you have such a good bead on what's going on in the world. People can follow you at Howley Reporter, and you're now writing for National File. Where else can people find you, and how can people support you?
Well, yes, go ahead and follow me there on Twitter, and I'm going to start a personal website here pretty soon, but, you know, Patrick Howley, I'll be around, and I'll keep letting you know every time I get deplatformed where I'm going next. I'm a working man, you know, I'm a traveling Willie Loman type reporter, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and we need more people like you, because like I said, so much of what's on the internet now is just regurgitation of what other people have found. You are on the ground getting the new information, bringing it to light through these important outlets that we have like National File and Epoch Times. Thank you so much for being with us, Patrick.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Patrick Howley. Follow him at Howley Reporter. And yeah, he really does great stuff. He's one of my favorite follows on Twitter. You really will not be disappointed with his tweeting and his reporting. And now, you know, I'm happy that he's on National File. You know, that's a win for us. Now, folks, I gotta give a concerted plug here. I gotta really ask you and really double down and let all of you fine people know that we need your support. We will not be around to bring great interviews like this. We will not be here to, you know, help have a platform for people who are kicked off of Conservative Inc., who are targeted by not just the liberals, but the more government-minded people on the right side. InfoWars is the outlet. InfoWars is the platform. And we exist only because there are so many InfoWarriors out there that really dedicate themselves to help keeping us afloat, to help spreading our message and buying the products as well. And this is not an organization that is concerned that much with making inordinate amounts of money. Everything we get, we pour back into this production. We pour into bringing you the news, bringing you the information you need to know. And just, you know, for your own personal benefit, it's the new year. And I know, I mean, I'm not telling you to do something I'm not doing. You know, I sat down, I said it before, but at the end of this month, I turned 30, which means naturally my testosterone will be going down. I'm getting older. I'm becoming middle-aged, I suppose, in a terrifying realization. But the way I started thinking about it, I was like, all right, it's the new year, 2020. This is my year. It's always my year before the year comes. This year has been a good one, but 2020, that's my year. And I thought, how am I going to organize this? What's going to be sort of my standard routine in the morning? What am I going to do? And I went to InfoWars and I started looking at the products and I started going, all right, I need to stop eating so much sugar. I need to stop drinking all these energy drinks. All right, I'm Turbo Force. That's going to be a key part of my New Year's resolutions. I need to, like I said, take the Alpha Power to boost that testosterone to help me maintain the levels that I'm at now. So Alpha Power needs to be on there. I'm going to start working out, so I'm going to need some Bod Ease, that turmeric root extract that is so good at alleviating soreness. I'm going to need some of that. You know, so my whole routine, my whole self-betterment regimen is based around, centered around, and sort of inspired by all of these InfoWars products. So that's just one use of these products. And of course, I don't need to tell you, Christmas is coming up. What better gift for your liberal family members than an air filter from InfoWars.com? What better gift for your little cousins than some of the survival gear and some of the cool outdoor stuff that we have there on InfoWars? So the supplements are great, of course, as gifts as well. Iodine, krill oil, Brain Force. I mean, people will think, they'll say, you've changed my life with this product. We have people call all the time. Of course, Super Blue and that type of thing is just your everyday product that you can get from InfoWars and not be giving money to the globalist corporatocracy that wants to enslave you, but rather us, the liberty-loving outsiders that are just trying to bring you the information you need. Tony Arterburn takes over tomorrow.